Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 5, reading verse 1. "Now Naaman, captain of the host or the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper." And I've got a few more verses to read, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you to speak to the people today. Lord, somehow use me to touch the heart, and that your Spirit would convict the heart and show the people their sin, their iniquities, where they stray from God, where they're self-centered or concerned about things and not trusting you or whatever the case. But Father, please touch the heart. Please reveal yourself to the people that are listening. And please, again, convict them by the Spirit, that they should follow you with their whole heart. And Lord, I'm always careful to give Jesus Christ all of the credit, all of the glory. And I want him to be magnified. And Lord, I praise you and worship your mighty name. Thank you, Father, in that wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. I want to read verse 9 through 16, but before I do, I want to take a look at this phrase here. It says, "By him, Naaman, the Lord had given great deliverance unto Syria." Some of you listening, that's what you need. You need deliverance. And I have no interest in demonology. I'm not talking about that. If you think that, that's not it. But whatever trouble we find ourselves in, whatever situation, whatever difficulty, or if there's a besetting sin, God is able to deliver. He's able to set the captive free. He said we'd know the truth and the truth would make us free. But the power of God is able to break drug addiction. He's able to destroy it. I can testify, the moment I got saved, I knew within 5 minutes I was saying yes to the Lord that I was free of dope, was free. The craving's gone. And that's been since November 30th, 1984, that I am free. If you have an addiction, if you have something that you can't break, if you have a situation that you don't know how to get through it or get around it or get out of it, turn to God. He can deliver you. Jesus Christ can deliver you. Trust in him. Turn to him. Bring your problems to him. He's able to take care of it, whatever it happens to be. But verse 9 through 16. "Now Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot," and we know the story. We understand that he went because he heard that there was a prophet in Israel, a man of God, and that God could heal, and that God would heal if approached with humility and in faith. But he came with his horses and chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha, the prophet Elisha, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, or really ticked off, and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me. I mean, he didn't even come out. He sent a messenger. Surely he'll come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord and strike his hand over the place, that the sore or whatever, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went away in a rage. But verse 13, his servants came near and spoke to him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith unto thee, Wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, the prophet Elisha. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. In other words, here, I want to give an offering. I mean, God's healed me. He's delivered me. He set me free. He changed my life. Here, I want to give an offering. But Elisha in verse 16 said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And again, we know this story. We've heard it preached hundreds of times, I'm sure. There are the obvious themes. Naaman the leper was healed. Naaman the leper went down into the Jordan 7 times, and he came up shouting alone, See my change. We know the song. We know the story. We know the story. Then there's his pride, and contrasted with humility. The way to approach God is not, Lord, look how good I am, how great I am, how great I art. But Lord, I'm a worm, as David said, and I'm not even worthy to be called a man. Humility. God resists the proud, but he gives his grace to the humble. There's the offer to pay for his healing. The offer to pay for his healing. The Catholic Church historically has taken money for the forgiveness of sins. It's called indulgences. Maybe they don't do it now, but it was common practice hundreds of years ago. And it's one of the reasons for the Reformation. Because men of God back then said, hey, that's wrong. We want to preach that you can come to God freely. There's the change in attitude. We can perhaps explore that. He was converted. And it's evident he came in pride, and when he didn't get his way, he was angry and he went away. But later on, he came with a changed heart. The evidence of a changed life. Proof that you are a servant of God. I've preached this, I've preached most of these themes, but look at the king, and we didn't read about the king, but the king of Israel, he realized he was bankrupt. He had no spiritual power. I've taught on this, the types that are seen in this chapter, this baptism that's seen. There's Calvary that's typified. And other types, other symbols. Then there's the little maid. Again, we didn't read that part, but I've taught on her extensively. I think 5 sermons some years back. And last, perhaps, is Gehazi's greed and merchandising of the gospel, which we'll get to in a little bit. But I want to look at verse 11. And Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. In other words, he was expecting some pomp and circumstance. He was expecting regalia, the finest robes, that Elisha would have the best, finest robe he had and come out and meet the captain of the host of the king of Syria. But instead, he just sent a messenger. Says, hey, go dip. The title of this sermon, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. We have a problem often in the house of God. Our denominations, what have you, we have a problem that instead of humility, instead of what did John the Baptist say, that I might decrease so that Jesus Christ would increase. We have a problem in that we, unlike what Paul said, or contrary to what Paul said, we preach ourselves. We preach our denomination. We preach our group, our seminary degree. We preach ourselves. We draw attention to ourselves, and I'll in a minute show where Christ didn't refer to himself. He drew attention away from himself. We should follow his example. Some churches, they do have the robes. And when the preacher comes out, or when a guest minister especially is introduced, there's all sorts of description of how great he is, and maybe his seminary degree, or what miracles he's performed in the past and what have you. The pomp, the circumstance, the ceremony. God isn't interested in any of that. God is not interested in what you look like and how great you look and how much your suit costs, preacher. God's not interested. God is not interested. We have from the text and in other places we could look at that God doesn't care about your ceremony and the right order of service or the right liturgy. He doesn't care because it draws attention to us and away from Jesus Christ. Showmanship is another word. And in some circles, in some denominations, on some television programs, it's about showmanship. And it's wrong. It's wrong. I taught on this not too long ago. Acts chapter 3. The man at the gate beautiful. When they were questioned in verse 12, and Peter saw it and answered the people, You men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though our power or holiness has made this man to walk? It's God that healed that man. All we did was walk in obedience. Why are you looking at us? You know, the sinner, the guy that doesn't go to church, the guy that sits and drinks beer and watches football all Sunday, what have you, all Saturday, whatever the case, he knows the difference. He knows when there's showmanship versus genuine discipleship. He knows the difference, and sometimes we're blinder than he is. Meekness. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10 and 11. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many arrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness. The prosperity gospel. The name it and claim it, or whatever term you know it by. The gospel of greed. You can err from the faith. You can fall from grace. You can lose your salvation through covetousness. And make no mistake, the prosperity gospel is about greed and covetousness. Oh, and showmanship and what have you. But, O man of God, flee these things. Flee these things. Another verse, maybe I'll get to it, it talks about filthy lucre, dirty money. Prosperity money is dirty money in God's sight. Flee these things before you lose your soul. Again, meekness and not drawing attention to yourself. The man that was born blind in John chapter 9, he had no idea who Jesus was, only that he had been healed. And he went later looking and had a conversation with the Lord and didn't even know who it was. Until Jesus said, yeah, it was me. We ought to be like that. Preach the gospel, and if God helps us during a prayer time, and the person we're praying for is helped or healed, then give God the glory. Don't put it in the bulletin. Don't put it in the newsletter. Just let the man be healed and go on about your way. And glorify God and don't draw attention to yourself. And certainly don't use it for fundraising later. Jesus did not trumpet his miracles. Everywhere he went, people were healed. But he didn't put up posters saying there's going to be a revival and miracle service next Friday night. He didn't say that stuff. He didn't do it. Oh, brother, you're preaching too hard. Well, oh, brother, I'm not preaching hard enough, sorry to say. Isaiah chapter 42. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. This is a prophecy of Christ when he came. And it says he didn't cry, he didn't lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. Obviously, he preached everywhere he went. But he didn't say, hey, look at me. Oh, he talked about the Messiah. He talked about Christ. He showed what the scriptures said. But he didn't say, hey, I'm the one. He didn't do it. He did not publicize who he was. He did not say, hey, look at me. He said, look to the scriptures. They testify of me, fine, but don't look at me. If Jesus didn't point to himself, what are we doing pointing to ourselves? We're out of line. We're out of order. And very quickly, you want to look at Gehazi. It says in verse 20, and I'm not going to read all of this, verse 20 through 27, it says, "But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, 'Behold, my master hath spared Naaman this Syrian,'" in other words, didn't take any offering from him, "in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him." We just read in the first part, when Naaman, after he had been healed, tried to get Elisha to take an offering. I mean, he was holding out the money or the jewels or whatever it was and said, "Here, take it." And the man of God said, "As the Lord lives, I will not take it. I won't take a penny. Freely you have received, freely give," which is what Jesus said. But Gehazi, the servant, may have been the one that was sent out to say, "Hey, go dip." It doesn't identify him. But Gehazi, he said, "As the Lord lives," the same phrase, "As the Lord lives, I will run after him and take his offering." He pronounced judgment on himself when he took God's name in vain, swearing that, "Hey, I'm going to go get some of them jewels or whatever the man had." And again, I won't read it all, but he went out, ran after him, and he asked for one set of clothes, and Naaman said, "Here, take two. Take all the silver, take whatever." And Gehazi came back, and he took the stuff and put it in the closet, kind of put some stuff in front so nobody knew it was there or what have you. And as an echo of when Adam and Eve, after they had eaten that fruit and they realized they were naked, God said, "Adam, where are you at?" And he didn't give the right answer. He was hiding. He didn't give the right answer. Elisha said, "Where'd you go, Gehazi?" And he said, I didn't go nowhere." But Elisha said, "Didn't my heart go with you when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee?" Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and manservants and maidservants? And the curse was pronounced that Naaman's leprosy will be on you for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life. And every one of your children will be infected with leprosy. God healed Naaman the Syrian. But Gehazi ran with greed and dollar signs in his eyes. And he and his offspring and his great-grandchildren and on through however long his line lived, they were cursed with leprosy. But every time I read this passage, Elisha asking, is it time to receive money and garments and olive yards and what have you? Is this the time to be getting? Every time I read that. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the end times. And in the days of Noah, they were concerned with getting married, doing this, doing that. I'm sure that Jesus had Elisha's response to Gehazi. I'm sure he had it in mind when he talked about the days of Noah and the end times. And honestly, I believe Elisha was given a flash of insight and was prophesying of the times that we live in today. The times right before the end. We're just like the Laodicean church. It's all about us. It's all about things. It's all about more money, what have you. But Jesus was warning, because we know what happened in the time of Noah. The flood came and everyone perished. And the end times, our times, are just like that. And we need to live right before God and forsake things and forsake the greed and jealousy and envy and whatever we have in our heart. Get our hearts pure before God, because the end is coming. The end is coming. The end is coming. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.